Luke chapter 8. Appreciate you being here today. As we look in Luke chapter 8, while you're turning there, the theme of this chapter, as we get into this chapter, is, of course, the power of Jesus. And the key verse is verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And that's a very important thing we need to understand, that when God puts somebody somewhere in the ministry, for one thing, that church becomes that person's life. And that's the thing that I think a lot of folks overlook sometimes, is you got to understand that that's your mother and your brethren now. I mean, that's a hard thing to do, but when you dedicate your life to the Lord, living for the Lord, that's the thing that's got to happen. And if you'll notice, this chapter has 56 verses, 1,431 words, all inspired by God. This particular chapter at a 5.2 grade level. And if we start off with the ministry of Jesus, and we're going to look at that in verses 1 through 3. And if you are saved, his ministry is your ministry. We're all in the ministry together. The ministry is the work we're doing for the Lord. And it says, and it came to pass in verse 1 afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, it said, were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered to him of their substance. As we look at the ministry of Jesus today, I want to preach to you today about walking in God's will. Walking in God's will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you'll move and do a work in our hearts and lives. Help us today, Lord God, to see your truths from the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray today, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this thing, the question can be asked, what will you find literally in the will of God? And the number one thing you find in the will of God is you find direction. He said in verse 1, it said, he came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, it says, preaching and showing. Two things there, the glad tidings of this place right here called the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. When you see that he says preaching right there, I'm reminded that the Son of God, before everything else that we would say about him, was a preacher in his day and the preacher of his day and the premier preacher of our day. He was preaching out there, and his direction in preaching came from the Scriptures. And listen, when we look at the Word of God, there's so much to preach on that we ain't got time to deal with everything else. There's so much here. When I hear people preach messages on just politics, I say, man, there's so much more than politics in the Bible, but that's in the Bible needs to be preached on. When people says we need to preach more on the family is in the Bible, but there's so much more that needs to be preached on. There is so much here, but we need to cover it all, because if we stay to one thing, that thing becomes a hobby horse. And if you've ever seen a hobby horse, them things don't go anywhere but back and forth. When we see people just only going back and forth, we need to say, get on a real horse and ride, baby. And that real horse is the Scripture. And that Scripture is not only a real horse, it's a workhorse, because he says he gave them direction. He said not only preaching, it says and showing. Jesus not only lived what he preached, but he preached what he lived. And you and I must live what we preach and what we see in the Scripture there. I'm reminded that in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, when it says, so they read in the law, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, it says, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit of God on a man to be able to give them the gift to cause people to understand what he's saying. And when we have that gift, that's something we don't need to take lightly. We need to realize that it is used, and God uses it, and he uses it to teach people the Scripture and help them conform their lives to Jesus Christ, so they may show not only that they belong to Christ, but they practice what he says in the Word of God. And it gives us also direction. He points out this place called the kingdom of God. I hear so many people make the mistake of saying we're building God's kingdom. That's a funny thing. You can't build a kingdom without a king. Right. But we're talking about King Jesus. You know, that's the first. But he ain't here yet.
Right.
We're heralds right now saying the king is coming. When the king gets here, the kingdom will be set up and it will be built, spread, and conquered in this world. But right now, the kingdom of God is not what people portray it to be. The kingdom of God is not the church. That's the church of God. That's the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. The kingdom of God, if only the Bible had a definition for the words kingdom of God, it would settle all this stupid talk you hear out of these politicians that are posing as preachers and these preachers posing as theologians, and we could get back to what things were. Matter of fact, I bet it's in the Bible. Let's look. Hold your place here. Look at Romans chapter 14. It'll define what the kingdom of God is. That way you don't have to get up and try to go out and spread the kingdom today. You go out and spread the gospel instead. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his shed blood for sinners. When they start talking about we're building kingdoms, there's only been two types that's built kingdoms in the past all the way up to 2023. I'm going to tell you what those two are. One has been religious cults that's trying to spread their poison out and build a kingdom unto one man. The other has been political cults out trying to spread their poison and put a dictator on the throne of this world. Don't worry, you don't have to do either one of those. You know why? One's already been done in Genesis chapter 3 when the dictator took the throne, which is the devil, and sin conquered this world, and death by sin passed upon all men. But wait, there is a king coming, and he will one day set up his kingdom, and you won't have to worry about that other dictator anymore. Romans chapter 14, look down at verse 17, says, for the kingdom of God is. Now, if the Bible says for the kingdom of God is, the next thing's the definition of the kingdom of God. It didn't say the church replaced Israel in this verse. It didn't say that the charismatics and the charismatic church replaced the church. It says this, for the kingdom of God is, and it says not. Here's where you're going to lose people. I just don't like negative. I like negative when there's a positive, it goes with it. It's balance. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Remember the whole we're building the kingdom? That's what they're building. They're building something to get together so they can have the party on the thing. Ooh, let's party in Jesus and all. No, we ain't partying in Jesus.
Right.
He says it's not meat and drink. He says, but this is the kingdom of God. Righteousness and joy and peace in one person, in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the force. The Holy Ghost is not a moving thing. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Ghost is the one that provides righteousness. That's being right with God. That's the one that provides joy, where you can have internal joy when the rest of the world's falling down around you, and peace when the rest of the world's at war. Thank God. Listen, the day you get saved, you get peace with God. You get righteousness in the fact that Jesus Christ substitutes your account with his, and now your account's clean, and he takes the blood and puts it on your account. And you have joy in the fact that God is walking with you every day of your life and is able to keep you and sustain you and preserve you from this generation forever. I see the kingdom of God is. So now I know what the kingdom of God is. And when I come to Christ and I'm saved and I want to walk in the will of God, I can come and find direction. I hear so many people say, well, I'm going to live in God's will, but I don't know what to do. Ask him.
Right.
Ask him to show you what to do through his word. Ask him to give you the guidance and direction you need for the preaching and the showing and the kingdom of God, so you have direction in all these things. Another thing we find in the kingdom of God, if you'll understand verse number 2, we also not only find direction, and this is the scary one here, we find devils. You'll notice it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and he says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. If you ever heard that place, that she's meaner than seven devils. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Bible, and I know people just like that, and you do too. They meaner than seven devils. They may have more than seven in them. We get the picture of these things right here. I want to deal with the first one there that says she was healed of evil spirits. Evil is something that's profoundly immoral and wicked, and that spirits, according to Merrill F. Unger, who wrote Unger's Dictionary, said the term soul in the Bible specifies that the immaterial part of man that concerns life, action, and emotion. A lot of people, they'll say that's your heart, but that's your soul. God says there's body, soul, and spirit. The spirit, listen to this, is that part related to worship and divine communion that God made alive. That part of you that's born again is that part. You used to couldn't communicate with God. He birthed you into the family of God. You were born again, and now you have a spirit that can come in divine communion and prayer with God and worship God and be part of the things of God. The evil spirit, on the other hand, are these agents of evil attacking people related to their worship and fellowship with God himself. Who are you to come and worship God Almighty? The evil spirit will say, what makes you think you're clean enough to come and worship the Almighty himself? Who do you are that you think you can talk to God in prayer and that you have a line open with God? That's what that evil spirit will tell you to get you not to pray and not to come to church. These are the ones that snatch the word away that Jesus is going to talk about in verse 5 and verse 12 of this chapter, where he talks about a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Now notice the description, and the fowls of the air devoured it. You get down to verse number 12, it says that those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Look at there. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. These evil spirits that was hounding this woman and hounding these women mentioned in verse number 2, when you get in the will of God, you'll find these devils, and you'll find them trying to tell you to get out of the will of God. You'll find them trying to snatch the word out away from you, lest you should believe and be saved, lest you should be born again. And these evil spirits are the ones that's going to come along and try to tell you literally that you don't deserve that, or you're better than those people, anything like that. These evil spirits are the one that oppress the believer and tell him there's no need for you to go to church. You're as good as them people down there. Well, I got news for you in every church in town. We're not in a competition with anybody in this building. We're not in a competition with any church up the road, down the road, or on the side road. We're just headed to here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ the best way we possibly can. We're here to preach the word of God and see what God has to say over what everybody else has got to say, and we're not in competition to get the most people, and we're not in most competitions who the meanest preacher can be, and whoever else that thing can they try to compare and compete themselves with. We're not here to get a basketball, softball, volleyball team together. We're not here to get the female sodomites together in a softball league where they can all visit one another and all that other stuff. Say amen right there. If nobody else will preach on it, I'll say something about it. We ain't going to have one here just for that reason alone. But the main reason is here, we're not here for a sports league. We're here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're here to make sure that the gospel is preached and people get witnessed to, and not make sure you got activities to keep you busy. Somebody say amen. Boy, that's some good preaching right there, if I ever say so myself. But listen to this. These evil spirits are the ones that oppress the believers and fill them with pride, so they think they're too good to go to church with you. I don't need to go to church. I'm be a Christian, not go to church. I got a clue for you. There's a restaurant right up the road. It's got two golden arches. I'm sure you're familiar with it. I'm sure that you've been by it before, but when you walked in the door, you didn't become a Big Mac, did you? You know why? That ain't how that works, and that ain't how this works either. You don't become a Christian by going to church. You become a Christian by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and letting him save you. On the other side of that statement, well, they made me mad down at the church. That's that evil spirit saying, see how them people act? You don't need to go there. If you go there, you'll be just like them. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take more than somebody with a bad attitude in church to get me out of the place where my Savior bought it with his own blood.
Amen.
That's what this Bible said. He purchased it with his own blood. And if he purchased it with his own blood, I'm part of it. He purchased me with his own blood. I can't be separated from it. I can see where people get, they'll say, well, such and such said something hurt my feelings. Lord have mercy. If I quit on that, I'd have quit 1,000 times. I got news for you. There ain't no negativity. There ain't no bad attitude. Nothing that's going to run me off from the house of God. You know why? I didn't choose to be here. He chose for me to be here. And because he ain't chose for me to leave, I'm going to stay here till the day I die. You say, what happens if you're too old a pastor? I'll sit here and look at the next guy. Amen. I ain't worried about all that. I only want to be here to worship God with the people of God. I want to sing songs. I want to hear the choir sing. I want to be part of all of what God's doing. But the main thing is, ain't no devil going to get me out of the house of God. And ain't no evil spirit going to do something like that, going to try to get me to where I won't want to come to church. I got enough back aches and hip aches and knee aches. And I think half time my head hurts just because it's old. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't none of that stuff going to keep me from coming to church unless that's something I can transmit to you. Right?
Amen.
But on the back side of that statement, let me say this. I don't see it anywhere in the Bible or planet Earth or anywhere in secular history where it takes 10 adults to take care of one sick person in the house.
Yeah.
So what about that, preacher? I'm going to tell you how we do it at the house. If you ain't handicapped, ain't nobody staying with you. You're going to be sick. We're going to church. We'll be back when we get back. And it works out every time. You know why? Because I don't, listen, I'm a grown man. I can still walk. If I need to crawl to the bathroom, I will, so my people can come to church. Amen and amen. And might I go ahead and say this before anybody jumps up and says anything about this? It don't take 10 of you women to take care of one baby in a nursery either. Say amen right there.
Right.
Just takes one or two of you. Now, I see if it's a difficult child, two of you, but never more than two of them for one child. I don't understand that. But I understand what does happen, because I had a man at the door, Brother Curse, tell me one time that what they do is they get back there and they gossip the whole time they're back there, and they ain't paying no attention to the preaching. Say amen, ladies. Go ahead. Every time, So next time we're gonna police the area. We're gonna get our guy with a badge instead of you. We're gonna make you the good guy. That you're gonna be good cop. He's gonna be bad cop. We're gonna send him back there to go out there and tell him, y'all gotta get up out of here. These pews all out there. Y'all sit in. They very comfortable. Don't y'all think we got comfortable pews? Amen. They really are comfortable. But listen to this. I see that these evil spirits are one that convince people that their particular sins are okay with God. That evil spirit will say, it's okay for you to do it. Everybody else can't do it, but you can. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. But I see another word beside evil spirits there. If you notice in verse 2, it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. These are physical or mental weaknesses, and both of them have to do with physical weaknesses to obey sin. There are some people, listen, of a certain age people, you know that when you're of a certain age, there's some things that physically will make you want to obey certain sins. But as you get older, them things are replaced by other things, and them things are gone. Now these other things are over here. And those infirmities are those things. God says, I'll heal you them things and help you with that. I had a man tell me one time, do y'all remember Laverne and Shirley, that TV program? Every time a girl walked by, he'd be doing all that stuff like Lenny and Squiggy Wood and all that. And I got saved, and he came here and he said, you don't think that woman's pretty? I said, I'm not going to look and find out. He said, what happened? I said, I got saved. He said, to save people, not look at girls no more? I said, yeah, we try not to. Amen. The goal is not to. I'm going to try to catch you from your chin up, not your chin down.
Right.
And that goes, listen, that goes double. That goes double for me, and it's half my age. You really need to guard yourself, because that thing will get on you and get on you quick. As us older guys, we don't care. We care less. These other things bother us physically, but let me tell you something. You get in a mess with that thing will follow you to the house, follow you to your bedroom, follow you to your bathroom, and everywhere else. You need to be very careful of that thing. That's an infirmity. You need to ask for some healing for that thing. There's also a mental weakness there to obey sin that deals with infirmities. And there's some people that are mentally given to some sins while others are not. We need to understand that God wants to heal you of both physical and mental infirmities like that. Also, he mentions down there, watch this, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. I got to looking at the devils and the evil spirits are not the same things, because they're listed differently here. Here's a crazy thing. They're not called demons either. No matter how much I preach this, somebody still comes and says the word demon to me or something like that. But listen, you won't find the word demon in the King James Bible, but you will find devil and devils. There's a reason why these new versions try to slip that word demon in there. That comes out of classic literature where there's good demons and bad demons. You know, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, where there's good witches and bad witches. They try to teach you this stuff through the most subtle forms to try to get you to believe that the reason a guy's a drunk is because he's got demons bothering him. It ain't demons bothering him. He's a drunk because he drinks. He likes to drink because he thinks he's having a good time, because alcohol poisons the mind and the bloodstream. It makes you think and hallucinate things and see things and feel things that maybe are not really there. It lowers inhibitions. It's not, listen, I've had people tell me for years, I wonder why we don't have stricter DUI laws or something like that. Well, how much more stricter do you want to be? You want to just kill the guy as soon as he gets caught with it, so we can just stop his problem right there? Or do we want to get him some help? We want to get him some help, quit calling him an alcoholic, quit calling him a drug addict, and start calling them what they are, sinners, and get them the gospel that they may be saved. I promise you this, the day I got saved, I quit more drugs than you've done in your life, and I didn't even realize I was quit until 48 hours later, and I thought, man, I ain't had no dope. None. I ain't been drinking. I ain't been out with my friends. I ain't partied and all this other stuff. Why? The life changed. Something happened. Somebody happened. Jesus Christ happened. And when you get radically saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood is applied to your account, hey, he changes your life. That's the sign of, listen, people say, well, what's the sign of somebody getting saved? A changed life is what it is. And when God changes your life, things are different. Hey, the grass is greener. The roses are more red. I mean, the whole nine yards. I remember there was a plant bloomed right after I got saved. I said, Lord, I know that probably ain't because I got saved, but I sure do like that thing out there. I think it was a dogwood or something like that. And I'm telling you, it's always good to see God do something in somebody's life. But these devils, I notice what I understand, these devils are influencers that will bother you all the time. These, and listen, they influence wrong beliefs. The Bible says about doctrines of devils. That's they're trying to get you to believe wrong, literally believe wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Who are these doctrines of devils? Well, right after that passage, it goes to talk about people that don't want you to get married and not eat pork. There's two of them right there. He lists right there in that very passage. But they influence wrong beliefs. And the reason they do that is these influencers, listen, they don't want you to live for God no matter what. And when you walk in the will of God, you find direction, then you'll find devils trying to come and steer you the wrong direction. I had people tell me when I first got saved, they said, "Well, you ain't a real Christian if you ain't talking in tongues." I said, "Is that in the Bible?" They said it is. I went home, I got my concordance, I looked up that tongues thing, and I went back to them. I said, "I think you're mistaken." They said, "What is it?" I said, "Do you talk in tongues?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "There's the problem right there." She said, "What do you mean that's the problem?" I said, "The Bible said regarding the rules of talking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the women are to keep silent in the churches. That hadn't done nothing to do with singing songs, praising the Lord, or testifying, but it is a rule for talking in tongues that the women can't do it in the house of God." I said, "So you are sadly mistaken." She said, "Well, close your Bible and I'll tell you what I believe." I said, "No. We're not closing the Bible to find out what you believe. Every liberal college in this country is trying to do that right now. I'm not closing the Bible for anybody. We're going to keep the Bible open and see what it says, because we need to have what the Bible says, or we're going to wind up in a mess like other people keep winding up messes over and over and over and over." And you know what they define insanity is? Doing something the same way over and over and expecting a different result. We cut our grass yesterday. You know what happens every time we cut the grass? It gets shorter. I mean, if we was cutting the grass so it'd get longer, we'd sure enough be in a mess, wouldn't we? If we was cutting the grass so it'd be a different color, we'd sure enough be in a mess. But keep thinking it's going to happen, that'd mean we're crazy, not the grass. Amen. Yep. There is, listen, these influencers, they influence wrong behavior. Paul said to Timothy, when he's talking about the pastors, the deacons, and the deacons' wives and all that, he said that verse 15 of that chapter says, "That thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God." These influencers, these devils comes along, and what they try to do, they try to influence you to act up in the house of God and to act wrong in the house of God. There's a time and a place for everything, and the time and a place for foolishness is outside that door, not inside this door. And we're dealing with the things of God. Listen, we need to understand what the Bible says about how we are to behave when we come to the house of God. If there's an influencer shows up, by the way, did you know in the current presidential cycle coming up in 2024, they said this, we're going to hire influencers off social media to campaign for us. You know what? I see who that crowd's working for now for sure. They're under doctrines of devil. They're under the wrong behavior already. And now they've really tipped their cards and showed you all five cards in their hand. Listen, this thing's winding down real quick when we start doing stuff like that. I don't need an influencer to campaign for me. I got the Holy Ghost. If he don't do the work, I don't think it needs to be done myself. But listen, there out of all this stuff, out of these influencers, these evil spirits, these infirmities, there is hope in that very verse, because if you'll notice back in the first part of it, it says, "And certain women which had," past tense, "been healed." They had been. If there's hope for them, there's hope for you.
Right.
There's not an evil spirit that come upon Jesus that won, even at Calvary. There's not an influencer one that changed his direction in the will of God, not one. There's not an infirmity one that you can't overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're going through Sunday school, I gave these verses out to the men earlier. This is what'll help you with this whole thing. Key verse to the book of Philippians is this: "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Here, there's four needs listed in Philippians. Number one is life's person. "For me to live is Christ and die is gain," is chapter 1, verse 21. And if he's life's person, I see what we need to do right there already. We just need to follow him. And if we're following him and he's the pattern for what we do and he's the person for what we do, I think we're going to be okay, because he can heal me all them other little problems I have where I don't want to do that. Secondly is this: we got to change our mind about things. So we get to the second chapter of Philippians, chapter 2, verse number 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Listen to this. I get over there and I got life's person, then I got life's pattern here, because now I change my mind and start thinking what he's thinking, and I start getting somewhere in life instead of constantly spinning my wheels going in the same direction. We talked to somebody the other day about these things, and I've been seeing them on videos, and I've been seeing them on the back of these fishing boats, and I kept wondering what they was. They call these things, I think it's power poles or something like that. I'm not even sure. This is something new. The only man in the room shook his head, know what I'm talking about. The rest of them tell what it is. On the back of these boats, these two poles, right? I looked in things. I thought, is that for backing the boat in? Because they kind of to the inside. That would help me a whole lot. I thought, maybe those big exhaust things. You know, like, hurrah! All of a sudden, they start putting out smoke or top. But that wasn't what they did either, because it's capped on top. I thought, these things got to be for something. So I asked this person the other day, was in a place where they had it. I said, what is that? They said, they told me what it was. I said, what does it do? They said, it's the most amazing thing. I said, the most amazing thing? I said, it's just sticking up there. How's that amazing? He said, listen, you out there fishing, you know you're in a good spot, you hit a button over here, and both of them let down and stick in the sand. I said, you mean like an anchor? He said, yeah, but these are electric. Okay, an electric anchor. He said, but you got to get two of them. I knew why they said two, and you know two, because two of them cost more than one. You ain't a fooling me. I know math. One and one's two. I don't care what the new math says. You ain't going to get me with new math. That old math's still right. But the lady said this. She said, yeah, you put them things there. This. I said, now tell me this. Why wouldn't you put just one down? You already know the answer. See, us old people that know what an anchor is, the guy at the front of the boat lets down one anchor. The guy at the back of the boat lets down the other one, so you don't sit here and do this. If you anchored in one place, and that's all you got, you'll spin. Is that right? But if you got two things in there, let me let you in on something. When you got saved, he brought all the healing you'd ever need in your life right then. And listen to this. Isaiah 53 doesn't mean there's physical healing in the atonement, but there is spiritual healing, emotional healing, all that there, because you got to have a twofold witness there of the scriptures and the spirit to anchor your life down to keep you from spinning all the time. Yes, thank God you're in the boat, but don't be caught with just one anchor in the water. Amen. Ain't that good? And get this thing here's already paid for. You ain't got to pay what. I won't even say, because you in my presence, I won't even say what that woman said them things cause. I couldn't believe when she said it. It shocked me. I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. I almost done like the old Randy Campbell thing. You won't get it from me. I almost said that, but I didn't say it. Listen to me very carefully. When I get to look at this thing about the will of God, and I see these things transpiring in Scripture like this, when you're walking in the will of God, you get direction, then you find devils, but then you get this. You find diplomats. A diplomat's a person that represents somebody else from another place, and they're there to provide for what you need to accomplish what they sent you there to do. And looking at diplomats, look at verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, this is continued from verse 2, where it talks about Mary called Magdalene. You got Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered to him of their substance. You'll find some of these names right here in Luke chapter 24 when they went down there to the tomb, too. So who are they? They're God's diplomats. They're God's diplomats. And what they do, they're there to provide things. They provide literally for the journey of others providentially. There's diplomats in this room right now. God's used you as a diplomat. It says they ministered, and ministered talks about attending to the needs of others. Whose needs were they attending to? They were attending to the needs of Jesus Christ as he came through preaching and showing the things which concerned the kingdom of God. They were there to provide literally for the journey of Jesus as he come through their area. That's what God's got some of us doing. We're providing for the journey of others. We're there. A pastor is a diplomat from heaven to help provide the church with what it needs providentially to get things in there and to provide for the journey of others there providentially. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 talks about helping they of the household of faith first, and it's got to be where we try to help out people. The craziest thing I keep hearing Christians saying is they give money to bums at Hardee's. I don't get that. Why do you do that? Well, God told me to. God didn't tell you to do that. Them guys walk away from there, they go get in a Cadillac Escalade, and they drive back to Greenville where they come from with $20,000 in a parking where you helped them. There's a place up in Gastonia we pull by. I don't even like to go by the intersection anymore because they got a bunch of professional bums out there that can get $10,000 a week out there off that road. Don't anybody make more than that this in here? You working in the wrong place then, ain't you? If you all out for money, you working it for the wrong guy. So how do you know they get done like that? Well, don't you watch the news? You like TV so good. Don't you watch the news and they bust these people? They'll film them all day long doing it. Homeless will work for food or whatever. Then they walk back to their car, take off the Goodwill clothes, put on their nice clothes, get back in their nice little $70,000 car and drive off. And you're sitting there talking about, I did the work of the Lord. Now you got ripped off. Meanwhile, the people you go to church with, you sit right beside them and they need things and you don't know it. They won't tell you. They're too prideful to tell you. And if they did tell you, you wouldn't do anything anyway because you didn't give your money to them bums. This is going to be hard for you to hear, but I want you to hear it. Look around and see something you can help with. Somebody may, listen, if I see people driving up in this church, especially here, if I see you driving up with two donuts on your car, and I don't mean Krispy Kremes either, I'm talking to them stupid things that manufacturers think will get us to the next place, half of you ain't got sense enough, though, you can't drive on that thing driving 75 miles an hour. Somebody needs to help you say, do you need help changing that tire? And you're going to go, uh-uh. Yeah, you do. You need to get a real tire on that car because that car is not designed to drive with a donut that's this thick on the car that the rest of the tires are this thick. Wake up. Don't be messing around like that. Don't do dumb things like that. Dumb things get you put in the hospital if they let you come now. I don't even know if they let you in anymore. They may just kick you out of the emergency room and say, go home and get well. Don't I need a prescription? Yeah, go home and get well. But I see you find that folks come along and provide providentially. If you see somebody out here and their car is smoking more than they do, please go help them, teach them how to change their oil. I knew a man, he's dead now, but he would fill the oil up to the cap. That car smoked like old 1920s freight train. Nobody could tell him nothing. Oh, no, it's got to be full. If your oil stick reads halfway up the oil stick, somebody needs to teach you how to do the oil in that car. These are real problems I've seen in this town. Now, if you hear a car comes up, it's going. That ain't the way a car sounds. Something's wrong. There's fixing to be a rod come out of that engine. You need to help them people. Tell them, I think I can help you with that. Please help they of the household of faith. The Bible says it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, they of the household of faith first. After you get through helping people here, then you help somebody else out that you can find out this is a legitimate thing, not a bum.
Right.
Not a bum. You got to help people that can, listen, not literally just help themselves, but teach them how to do it. If I buy you groceries, I'm going to do that because you're hungry, right? But if I don't teach you how to go get them groceries, how to get a job to get them groceries or something like that, I've done you no service. So why'd that make me a liberal, a Democrat, whatever them people are, want to sit around and beg for everything and have the entitled mentality? That's not the Christian mentality, by the way.
Right.
They'll disguise it like that and say certain Bible phrases in there, but the real mentality is this. The Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat either.
Right.
So what does that mean? In the Greek, it says, go get a job, you lazy bum. Say amen right there. You find diplomats, they provide for the journey providentially, and they also provide for the journey of others personally. It said they ministered unto him of their substance. They gave out of their own pocket to do it. What we do at church is no different than what a lot of other people do than certain organizations, but ours is really different because everything we give, God takes care of it. We realize that the job we have, we realize who gave us that job. Right. We realize that every dime we get from that job, God gave that through those people to us to have. And He don't want 90%. He don't want 10% of it back and you keep 90%. He wants the 100% so you can tell, he can tell you where it all goes.
Right.
He wants you to take of your substance and help with people with their journey for the Lord Jesus Christ, the way they help Jesus Christ here. And the example being this, we give this to him. Just like if we help a missionary, we're giving that to Jesus Christ, not necessarily to that missionary, but we're giving to Jesus to help him on his journey as he goes out and spreads the good news of Jesus Christ out there. We find out, he said, they also provide the journey for others practically because he said their substance, the very things they used to live with every day, the very things they had in hand. Listen, God didn't call these people to give stuff they didn't have. He called them to give what they did have, and he'd take care of their needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to give them his person, his pattern, his power, and he's going to do all that. And he's going to give them his prize, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to do all that so they can take of their substance and help somebody else. Do you know nobody's ever outgive God? Ever. And if you try to give to get, you'll find out God will let you go broke. But if you give because you want to help out the work of the Lord and do the things of God, God will make sure you are always floating. He'll let the world sink around you and let you float on through the journey. There's some of you right now, you thought it was all over and done, but guess what? Here you sit. How many of you rode camels here today or horses? None. Why? God provides.
Right.
God provides. You said, well, I had to ride with somebody. Again, God provides. I had an old car one time. It was a 78 Chevrolet, and that thing looked like it wouldn't go another mile, but after I got saved, that thing kept going. Everybody else is they're driving this sporty little car, them things flipping down, all this stuff. Broke down on the side of the road, everything else, transmission falling out of them. There went that old metal tank down the road. And you know what was so sad? The day I sold that car, that boy took it a mile up the road and totaled it. I said, son, I said, how does a man total a car that's built like a tank? He said, well, I hit this brick wall, it wouldn't go nowhere. I said, I understand. That'll do it every time. I thought there's no way he hit one of these little Nissans and, you know, all this other Hondas and all this other stuff made out of plastic with that thing and didn't just totally explode the other car. That ain't how that works. Laws of gravity and inertia take over and the metal car wins every time. But notice this. Listen. They provided for the journey of others practically. Things they owned meant something to the giver, and they gave it, and God honored the thing. These diplomats for the Lord Jesus Christ, God has them everywhere. There's not a missionary or an evangelist or a preacher, anything I've met, that hadn't told me the exact same story. I go over here and preach for $2,000. They hand me a $5 bill and say, God bless you. Have a good day. You're walking away from there not even able to buy a Happy Meal for your kids. You go to the church for $25 at night, and they give you $5,000. God laid this on our heart. How'd that happen? What were them big fat churches over there giving? I'll tell you why. They too busy worrying about self. And the statistic is that 3% of the people in that big old building does all the giving while 97% sit there, drink up all the water, use up all the toilet paper, and suck up all the air and never contribute to one single thing in there other than, back, you better entertain us or we're going to leave. Therefore, they got to hire a big music man. They got to hire a golden-tongued, golden-throated preacher. They got to hire a little cheerleaders for Jesus in there, scantily dressed, so they can keep everybody's attention and entertain everybody while they're there. They got to have a big media presentation. If not, nobody will come. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the gospel of Jesus Christ don't change your life and you want to come, you ain't got no business being there anyway. It's got to be that message, and God's diplomats will be found in these places where you won't expect them. I think the craziest thing in this world is that churches and preachers get out and they think, well, if I have a bigger crowd, I'll be better off. Sometimes you're better off with a smaller crowd. I read over there where they had a big dinner and they had 5,000 fed. That was just the men. And everybody was so happy till verse number about 60 around there. Then Jesus started preaching after the homecoming dinner. You know what happened? 5,000 walked off and there's 12 left. And the first thing he said was, will you also go with them? I wondered myself, what if they'd have walked off? You know what he'd done? He'd got 12 more. He don't need us. We need him.
Right.
Listen to this. Are you finding these things in your walk with Christ? Are you finding direction? Then if you're not, find the will of God. Are you finding devils? Well, if you're living for the Lord, not being attacked or being influenced or being tempted or something like that, then you're probably doing the devil's bid and you need to wake up. Are you finding diplomats? Guess what? God's got them all over the place. You say, I hadn't needed one lately. Well, God probably has provided you some other way, but when you need it, they'll be there for you. And by the way, I want to say something right quickly about diplomats that you don't even know about. Bill Grady, I don't know, every time I've ever had him here, he comes up and he tells about these books he writes and stuff. I noticed that if you're a widow, he gives you free books, does he not? If you're a widow and you promise to pray for him, he'll give you a book. He said, I believe my ministry is entirely kept up by widows at home that has nothing other than their prayers keeping me going, and that God takes that and provides everything else for it. I said, I wouldn't doubt that at all. That's just another way of being God's diplomat through your prayer life to help out somebody that needs help. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we